yesterday, I think you heard Radhanath Maharaj was here, and we spent a few hours together speaking. Some of it was recorded, and you probably listened to that. There was one interesting story that Maharaj told, which I just wanted to retell. I found it was very informative and very enlightening. And when Maharaj first came to India, he came here looking for spiritual life, trying to find the meaning of life. And at that time, he didn't know about Krishna consciousness. I think he told him that was 1968. And he came here to Rishikesh, and he was living here for quite some time, associating with yogis, meditating, doing austerities, living on a carrot a day. And he went and found who was at that time, that was 40 years ago, the most famous yogi here of the time, whose name was Tattwala Baba. And he lived with him. He said that yogi taught him how to live in the forest, how to eat on roots and natural things that grew there, light fire, live in a cave, tolerate the very extreme conditions that are here in Rishikesh. And they didn't live exactly by the river. He said they lived about a half hour trek in the forest in towards the mountains. Anyhow, I'd asked him whether this yogi had achieved any particular city, or whether he'd seen that. He said he personally was not witness to anything, although this Baba was recognized here in Rishikesh, but he did see him sometimes sitting without moving 18 hours a day, just meditating in some kind of trance or samadhi. Anyway, because he became so popular, people started to come and visit this Tattwala Baba, and a yogi nearby who's also quite famous, well-renowned, he started to become envious. He was worried that this Baba was going to have more fame, followers, attention than he. So one day when this Baba was bathing, the other yogi came and he killed him. He shot him from behind while he was bathing. Now, that was really amazing for me. You can just imagine people who are living here in extreme heat, extreme cold, outside, undergoing all kinds of austerities, living in caves, lying on the ground, lighting their own fire, eating raw foods, simply meditating and accepting all kinds of voluntary disciplines. Despite all of these things, the dirt in the heart, the impurities cannot be purified, and envy remains within the heart. But not only envy, because one may think, well, also, all right, sometimes I also manifest envy, but that doesn't mean the Vaishnavas do away with other people who are their competitors, perhaps are becoming renowned for being advanced devotees, but rather they try to glorify those Vaishnavas, serve them, and consider that it's Krishna's will that someone who is actually more humble, more advanced, more learned becomes recognized. Even materialistic people, they think twice before killing someone who they see as being a competitor. But this other yogi, even though he was out there for decades doing these severe, strict austerities, still he couldn't free himself, not only from envy, but he couldn't feel himself from this type of anger, control his senses, so that he wouldn't kill this person. He just lost complete control, became overwhelmed by the modes of nature, and shot this Baba. So we also sometimes have this tendency to judge spiritual advancement by some austerity or some symptom other than attachment to Krishna. In the modern New Age world, people look at auras, they try to tell people about their other past lives, they talk about reading people's minds or doing other types of tricks like that, and in that way they're considered to be spiritualists. But here, this is like really someone following traditional discipline, doing serious things that New Agers don't do, which is living outside in the forest here in Rishikesh. And still, the heart remains as it is, because it requires something spiritual or transcendental to penetrate through the layers of unwanted things, to enter into the heart and to free the heart from these impurities. And that in this age is Nastiva, 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 is only the chanting of the holy name. Nothing else will do. So whatever other austerities we perform, and we do perform with it in reason, certain types of austerities, the observance of Ekadasi, fasting on other holy days, refraining from sense gratification of certain types, accepting controlled sense gratification of other. But what will really help us advance in Krishna consciousness, what's really a measure of a Vaishnav, is his attachment to chanting Hare Krishna, how well he chants, how nicely he chants, how attached he's chanting to the holy name. And ultimately, that transcendental sound vibration will purify the heart and will bring the chanter, the practitioner, also to the spiritual stage, the transcendental stage, which can't be achieved by these other disciplines, particularly in this day and age. So, gatir anyata, this is the only way. If we want to get there, this is the only way. Here is a good example, I thought, of dedicating one's life to a process that, to make it brief, doesn't really work. And then, interestingly enough, after a few years, that Baba was, that yogi was let out of jail, and he came back and lived in Rishikesh, and again he became envious of another person who was becoming very popular, and again he killed that person, and again after a few years, Indian justice system, they let him out, so he's still here. Let's see who's next on his list. Hare Krishna, as Prabhupada says, and Bhagavatam says. Person who sins, even though he knows the consequence of sinning, if the heart remains impure, he continues to sin. Because Praktiti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasa, he's forced by his lower nature, accentuated by the influence of the modes of nature.